Melody is the last speaker tonight. So, Melody, would you come up on the stage? Amen. So, since this is our last senior, I want you guys to pay extra special attention because next week you're going to have to listen to me again. Okay? Yeah, I know it. It's tough. I try to give you a whole month, but it's just ended up turning out to be 4 weeks. But she's got a word that God has put on her heart, and I'm excited to hear it and hear how she, expounds on it. All right, so Lord Jesus, bless Melody as she speaks tonight, and help her words to be your words, and your words to be, or help her just to tell us what do you want us to hear tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. What is this? What is this fabric? It's very nice. It's very nice fabric. It's a synthetic. And it's funny when I say synthetic because I just have a very bad lisp, and there's like S's and TH's and synthetic. It's something I need to work on. Okay, Melody Romo.
Okay, hello. I'm really, really nervous, so you guys have to help me out. And every once in a while, when you see me like blank or something, just smile or start clapping or just do something. Okay. Okay, so Matt asked me to speak last month, and my first reaction was fear because he pretty much forced me into it. He was like, he called me up, and he's like, hey, I'm doing this thing senior month. You want to speak, whatever. And I'm like, well, let me pray about it, and I'll get back to you. And he's like, no, just tell me now. It's a yes or no. And I'm like, I'll pray about it, and I'll let you know. And he's like, if you tell me now, I'll give you the last week in May. So I was like, okay. So here I am. And I have this nervous habit that I was telling Crystal that I tend to talk for a while, and I stop breathing. And so I'll be, like, talking, and I'm like, I have to breathe because I'm nervous. And funny story, at the beginning of this year, we had this PAL retreat, and I spoke for Churchill, like I represented Churchill, and I get up on stage and I'm like, so respect and blah blah blah, and I ran out of breath, and I was like in front of all the pals from the district. You were there, do you remember that? I totally did. Yeah, it was embarrassing. So I'm gonna try and breathe tonight. Every once in a while I'm gonna remember to breathe. Okay, so just clap, everybody, just start clapping. Okay, that makes me feel better. So the theme for tonight's message is, bottom line, God's love is greater than life. And it's not up there yet, but it will be. And so that's my theme. And I took a lot of notes, so if I'm looking at the paper, it's because I'm reading off of what I wrote, but it's not like I'm trying to not look at y'all. Okay, anyways, so something that I've learned throughout high school and in these past couple of months is that no matter what happens to me, good or bad, God's love is bigger and better. It's greater than life, and it exceeds anything and everything. And I found that searching for the heart of God and dwelling in his love and in his presence is such a privilege. And you know, when we're younger, it's more like, you know, I want to go to heaven, I don't want to go to hell, so yeah, I believe in Jesus, you know. And as you get older, you mature, and you begin to see the importance of what God has done for you, and it becomes more of a, I love you, and you live for God because you love him. And so I want to share something with you that I live by. It's my standard for living. It's the basis of my faith. And I believe that if we grab hold of it, we can really make a difference. So I'm going to start out with some scripture verses with God's love. And the first one that I have is Romans 5, 6 through 8. And it says, you see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So that's a pretty powerful verse. It's pretty much saying you're liars and you were sinners, but Christ still died for you because That's how much he loved you. He wanted to save his world, and so he died for us. 1 John 4, it says, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we are like him. So that's a pretty big verse about love. It talks a lot about love. And, you know, God's love never fails. You know, God is love. And, you know, we may fail him every day, but God still is there with open arms every day saying, my love is still here, and I'm here with open arms to accept you no matter what. You know, he's on our side. He created us. We're his masterpiece. We're his romance. He wants us to do good. And David recognized this, and in Psalm 63, it says, because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. Yeah. So David loved God so much, he realized that his love was greater than life. And so, you know, you can start to walk in that, and you can start to be like, you know what, I do really love the Lord, and he's all that I want to be around. He's all that I want to live for. And, you know, you'll have this passion for it, and you'll go after it, and you're like, yes, I'm ready. I have ambition. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do great things for God. But then, you know, we forget that there still is a Satan, and he still is out there on the prowl looking to get you. And so Satan's purpose is that in John 10:10, it says, a thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come to give you life and have it to the full. So sin is Satan's way to bring you down. It's his way to get you when you're doing good, when you're walking in God's love. He's going to throw whatever he can, and what's so powerful is sin, because either we can sin and we can feel guilty about it, or other people can sin against us and we feel guilt, like not guilty, but we feel, you know, mad, upset, hurt, and we don't want to let that go. And so if we dwell on it, though, we're doing exactly what Satan wants. If we dwell on the sin of the world, that's exactly what he wants. That's his way to bring you down. And so in Romans 6:14, it says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. So Jesus knows you're going to sin. That's why there's forgiveness. You know, we're not perfect. We're humans. So don't make it a big deal. Purpose to make a change in your hearts. If it's a big sin you're dealing with, you know, deliverance. And purpose to make a change and move on into God's plan with your life, for your life. Don't let Satan stop the flow of Jesus in your life. And as you grow in God's love, your standards will begin to change, and your thinking will increase, and you'll begin to walk in a more straight path. Okay? Amen? So, let me get my papers straightened out. So I'm going to talk a little bit about how I found Christ's love on a more personal level, and so I realized that this life was hopeless throughout my high school career. I realized that nothing in this world could ever satisfy me. You know, not people, not things, not anything. And I would hope for things and sometimes get them. And I would, you know, want things. I would want to achieve things. And sometimes I would achieve them. And I would get these things, but I still felt empty. But I would just tell myself, you know, it's okay. I trust God. He's going to do great things in my life. And, you know, he'll work it out. But I wasn't living in the fullness of God. And as time went on, I went through high school, went through some lows, some highs, and I got real close to God as far as, you know, reading my Bible and just trying to figure out his ways and find his heart. And in that time, I was learning about God on my own, and it strengthened my faith. And yet there was still this empty feeling. And like this uneasiness, you know, like I didn't know, what my future held, and it bothered me because I like to prepare myself. And so I didn't like this feeling because I believed in God, and I knew that in God there was true happiness. And so I was confused on why I didn't have it, because I believed in God, and I was just like, you know, I trust God, and I've known God since I've been a little girl, so why do I have this void in my life? And so I didn't like that. So I started this search, and it was called How to Live in the Fullness of God on My Own. And so I went online, you know, looked up some things. I read it in my Bible. I was looking for, you know, how to live in the fullness of God. And I even asked a few of my friends, what do you think living in the fullness of God means? But I didn't really find the answers I was looking for. I was looking for something like, bang, here it is. Now you're living in the fullness of God, you know. And so I didn't really get the answers I was looking for. And so I just kind of, you know, I didn't put it on the back burner, but I was just like, you know, whatever, I still believe in God. It's not a big deal. He'll show it to me on his own time. And so this past year, my senior year, you know, the Lord Jesus has really just been my best friend. And I've gotten real close to him as far as, like, full reliance on the Lord, just trusting in God every day, you know, knowing that he's going to do great things in my life. And so I like to write down things. How many have journal entries? How many journal? Yeah, a lot of girls. It's a good thing, you know. You write down anything and everything. It's like you hear something good and you write it down because you want to remember it later. That way you can, like, encourage yourself, and it's like, yeah, there you go. You know, that's for me. And so I write a lot of stuff down, whatever, how I'm feeling. And so I wrote down this entry, and I'm going to read a little bit from it. And I typed it out because I didn't want to read from my actual book. And so this is what I wrote. I live because I want my Savior to be completely satisfied with me. I will live to show the love of Christ and to fulfill his plan for my life. This is my life lesson at 17 years old. His love is greater than life. The simplicity of these words cannot capture the reality of this statement. The love of the Father brings a peace that passes all understanding. We know what that means if we are in love with Christ, because then we know that no matter what trials we may face, what decisions we may have to make, it's going to be okay, because then there is that overwhelming peace in our hearts that hopes and trusts in the Lord. So because I know the love of the Lord, I live fully and completely in the fullness of Christ Jesus, which comforts and saves me every single day of my life. And so later, it didn't even hit me that I was writing about living in the fullness of Christ until I was going over my notes for this message, because I had already started living in it, because I was living in God's love, that I, you know, I was already walking in it every day. Like, I love God, he loves me, and his love is greater than life, and everything's great, you know. And when I saw that, I was like, wow, you know. And it's just like, there's a scripture verse that I have. Okay, maybe not. All right. Anyways, so that was just really cool. There's a scripture verse in Ephesians. I forgot to put it up, I guess. And it talks about how when we're rooted in faith and grounded in God's love, that we live in the fullness of Christ. And you know, throughout this past year, like, a lot of things, like, reality and life have just hit me, like, as far as, like, the tsunami and, like, Hurricane Katrina and just, like, you know, 9/11 and all this stuff. And I'm just like, you know, life is so short, and you only get one shot to satisfy the Lord. And sometimes you face hard times, and you just want to be like, Lord, I'd much rather just be with you right now. So, you know, let's just, you know, take me away or whatever. You know, it's like, I don't want to go through this. You know, your love is better. I'd rather just, you know, be with you right now. But it's like, God already saved you from sin, and it's our turn now to satisfy him and to give back to the Lord, you know? And it's like, how can you satisfy Jesus dead? You know, you have a purpose here, and Jesus wants you to fulfill it. And that is how you can satisfy the Lord. And you can do that by showing Christ's love. You know, Jesus was a servant. He served. And by showing God's love, we can serve and offer ourselves. And And just be like, you know, I'm going to try with all my heart to satisfy the Lord because he's the only true thing in my life. And he's the only one who'll never let me down. He created me. I'm his masterpiece. And I'm going to change lives for him. And so, so when you start to live that, when I did, when I was like, you know, the Lord is just so great. His love just exceeds everything and is better than anything that I've ever experienced. And I was just like, man, I want to do something for God, like right now. And so I would, you know, but there wasn't really anything like, bang, there it is, do it. And so I was just kind of struggling for a while, like, Lord, what do you want me to do? Like, I realized that your love is more than enough and it's all that I want to live for. So what do you want me to do? And it's just like, you know, making a difference, like that's huge, but how do you do it? How do you make a difference every day when you're just going to public school or, you know, whatever people are like, you can witness to your friends, but, you know, people don't always want to listen to you and you can talk about Jesus, but I mean, is that like, is that really making a difference, you know? And so I just prayed about it and I started to realize that making a difference in the small things can make a huge impact. You know, just like a grenade or a bomb, it's small, but the impact of what it consists of is so huge. And so what God told me was don't take for granted the small things, the little ways that you can make a difference. Just by making yourself available, by serving people, you know, getting involved, active in your community. And so I have some scripture verses on making a difference. And my first scripture is John 15, and it says, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So right there, that scripture verse is saying, we are here to bear fruit for God. We're here to glorify God. That's what we're here for. Bottom line, you know, whatever. He created us. This is his huge master plan, and we get to be a part of it. The God of the universe, we get to take part and change lives for him and do what he wants us to do. He wants us to do that, you know? And so it's like the scripture verse is saying, all you have to do is abide in Jesus, and he'll abide in you, and he'll show you the way. He'll direct you and guide you. And it says in Luke 4, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And so right there, God is saying, yeah, you know, I'm all for you. I've anointed you. This is what I want you to do. And so those are two powerful, powerful scriptures. And if we can grasp what they mean, it's like, wow, we can do whatever God wants us to do because he's God and he wants us to do that. And so what can stop us? What can stop us? And so I have 3 points on how to walk in God's love. And number one is keeping the faith. And that is that Christ died for you, that he loves you. You know, it goes back to the first scriptures that I talked about, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And so if we keep the faith and we're grounded in faith, that's going to help us in our walk in God's love. And number two is always hope. Always hope in his plan for your life. You know, in these last few scriptures, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. You know, hope in God in that, and that he's anointed you and he's appointed you to do that, to do whatever it is he laid on your heart. You can do that and you can hope in God and believe to see great things. And number three is dwell in his love. And, you know, make this the basis of your faith, God's love. You know, just walk in it every day, dwell in it, you know, wake up and be like, God's love is greater than life. I'm going to do whatever he wants me to do because his love is greater than this life. And so if we stick with these 3 points and we follow through with them, seriously, your thinking will start to change. And like, I'm an example of that because I was a Christian my whole life, but it didn't really hit me until this year, until I decided that I was going to seek God every single day. And when I did, I found his love and I found happiness. I found how to live in the fullness of God. And if you lose sight of it, you'll stop living in that happiness. You'll stop living in the fullness because you're not walking in that, you know. And so we have to walk this every single day to live in the fullness of God. It's an everyday thing. You can't just stop for one day, because when you stop, you'll stop feeling it. You won't live in the fullness of God anymore. And to live in the fullness of God is the best thing ever. It's the best thing that you could ever live, because you have no fear and you're just in love with God. And you're just like, you know what? Whatever happens to me, I'm living for Jesus, and he's got my back, and I'm going to do great things for him, and I'm going to be a world changer. And so so my prayer for y'all tonight is 2 Thessalonians 3:5, and it's, may the Lord direct you into God's love and Christ's perseverance, and we persevere through God's love. Amen.
Thank you, Melody. That was lovely. You know, a lot of times, you know, we forget, we take for granted God's love, and we forget that the Creator of, like, the universe loves us. I know I a lot of times forget, and we can get down and depressed. Anybody ever get down, depressed, discouraged, worn out, tired, you know? And a lot of times we get that way because we lose sight of the fact that, you know, there's somebody who loves me, and God loves me, and all I have to do is call out his name, and he's right there next to me, willing to talk to me and hang out and be my friend, you know? And I think that's a pretty cool thing. And so thank you, Melody, for pointing that out to us. Everybody give her another big hand. All right. You guys are great. I love each one of you. We'll see you guys next week.